Good morning. If you could turn with me to the book of Romans. Today we're going to read from chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 to verse 25. I have a bit of a cough, so excuse me. And I'll just follow along. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Amen. A couple days before our daughter Noelle was born in March, Annie had text messaged me, and she wrote, I'm so done with this pregnancy, meaning, like, I want it to be over. 9 months has been enough. I'm ready to move on. But the baby was still in her. And then, obviously, after the baby was born, I think just a couple hours later, you know, I had to take care of paperwork and whatnot, and I got another SMS, and in big, bold capital letters, it was done. And just this, you know, sigh of relief. When I was in high school, I had my first car was a Hyundai. My dad, I think he got it from a friend or something. And I must have been 15 years old, or 16 years old, sorry, a sophomore in high school. And a group of friends and I, we went up to San Bernardino Mountains. And I had this car for a while, and, you know, I hadn't taken auto shop at that time, and my dad hadn't explained, but you're supposed to get an oil change after 3,000 or 4,000 miles. I didn't know this. All I thought you ever had to do was put gas in it. And so here we are going up to San Bernardino Mountains, and the car dies. The engine basically burnt out. It melted within the hood. I got out of the car. You know, we tried to get it moving. It would not work. And pretty much it was dead. And so, that, you know, it was a situation where I looked at the car and said, okay, this thing's done. It's not going any further. There's an instances in the Bible and even in our own lives where we look at a situation and we say, okay, this is done. I've pretty much had enough of this. Or, okay, this is as far as I can go, as far as my energies, my thoughts, my resources. And so you look at a situation and say, okay, this is done. Either I'm done with it, or even if I want it to continue, it's done. In the passage that we read today, Abraham has this promise. And in verse 19, now, in referring to his body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and also referring to the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet it says that he had a faith that was not wavering. In verse 19 it says, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. So, okay, you recognize the situation, right? You see what's before you. And it's not a sin to contemplate. It's a sin to lack faith, to believe that God can't do something in the situation. But it's not a sin to have faith and then say, okay, well, this is what I see, God. Okay, it's run its course, and I don't see how this is going to happen. Yet the next step is critical, right? Do you believe that God is able to perform it? And there are plenty of things in our lives that we say, okay, this thing is done. It's run its course. It's gone as far as it can. And you contemplate and you assess the situation. And then that's the exact opportune time where you no longer look down or you no longer look at yourself. And that's the moment that faith rises up and you look towards up God and say, you know what, God? I know you can do this beyond what I see, beyond what I assess. And so Abraham has his promise. And a few words here that I just want to highlight. It says in verse 20 that he did not waver. Okay, so there's four things here that you can highlight and just kind of meditate on it and just follow up on. In situations that you may be facing this very hour, this very day. Okay, one, he did not waver. Two, he grew stronger in faith. What that means is, maybe you have a little bit of faith. Maybe it's not enough to overcome. Maybe it's not enough for you to invite what God wants to do in your life, but it grew stronger, right? And it's not just a mind trick. You grow stronger in reminding yourself that this is something completely God is able to do. Okay, three, give glory to God, right? From the outset, before it even is completed, you can start giving glory to God. Fully assured, having confidence that God is able to perform. Just two nights ago, I would say that I've prayed for healing for people, that other people have prayed for me, and in various forms or whatnot, I've experienced healing, particularly for my back. But two nights ago, I went to sleep at 11 p.m., and I had a really bad, like a knife-like nerve-pinching pain in my lower back. And it hadn't been this bad since maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I originally had injured it. And so I had been, gone through a process of healing and completely confident. I knew that God had healed it and that it was just a matter of time. I received that word. I claimed it for myself, and I'm just waiting to walk into it. And so, sometimes it's a little sore. Sometimes it's I can play basketball a little better. But that night, it was like I couldn't even move positions in my bed without kind of gripping my teeth and gripping something. And so, I asked Annie to pray for me and said, this is really bad. And so she prayed for me, and I went to bed, expecting that when I wake up, the pain will be, released or removed. And every hour and a half or so, I would wake up, just normally, like anyone would when you want to, move positions in your bed. And that knife-like pain would just shoot up my back. And so, okay, well, in my mind, I kept thinking, okay, this is really bad. Maybe I have to go to the ER. I'll probably have to call Pastor Nate to lead EMP. And so, again, I just brushed it off and kept going to sleep. By 4, I had no choice because I really had to go to the bathroom. So now, I had to test, the real situation. And so I tried to get up out of bed, and I couldn't. I had to literally slither and push my way out of bed to the edge to see if I could stand. And when I tried to stand, I couldn't. I got on my fours. I literally could not stand or put pressure on my back. And so then I started crawling because I had to go bathroom really bad. So I started crawling, and I went to the door, and I pulled myself up on the door, the bedroom door. The bathroom door is over here. And I still couldn't walk. I held myself up, so I slid myself with the door, and it kind of carried me towards the bathroom. And then I got that door, kind of like a jungle, rope or vine or whatnot. And I finally got myself. And I said, this is ridiculous. And I remembered, I've already been healed. It wasn't a matter of, okay, a relapse or something. Okay, something's going on. And so it's sort of that, do I need to repent for something? God, are you trying to tell me something? So I just started repenting. I just started, confessing out sins that maybe I've wronged people or, something, an attitude that I've had. And then I began, again, reminding myself and confirming, no, this has already been defeated. I've already been prayed over this. I've already been healed. I've already received it. I've already gone down that path. And so then I started recognizing that this is not of God, that this is of the devil. And I started rebuking the pain. Almost in anger, but more in defiance, in a you could say like a defiant faith. Like, no, I've already received this. God has already spoken. And so I started rebuking the pain, rebuking the sharpness, the inability to stand and walk, and I rebuked the devil, and I said he had no place, no authority over my body. This has been healed. God, I claim your glory, your healing over this. And in anger, I don't know what came over me, but in anger, I said, I'm going to jump as high as I can 7 times. And I just started jumping, kind of using my hands at first, at the sink. 7, 8, 9, 10. And I got to 13. I was like, wait, I only need to do 7 times. And I realized it was completely healed. At that very moment, the sharpness had left. And again, in defiant faith, you have to understand, I've been through this experience many times. And once I get even an inkling of pain, I'll brace myself. because there have been times where I've completely collapsed. But in defiant faith, knowing how sharp this pain was, I literally walked in, like, you know, head up out of the room. I went to the kitchen. I got a cup of water, you know, kind of like sensing at times I might fall, but I didn't care. I'd been healed, and I walked out, and it was completely restored. I went to bed the next day. I didn't even think about it once. It wasn't even until later in the afternoon I realized, oh my gosh, there's absolutely no residue or even thought of this pain. And that's what the verse is saying here. You know, when I read this passage, I did not waver, right? I grew stronger in my faith. You know, I gave complete glory to God because I knew that God was the one that healed me. And I was fully assured. I mean, I didn't have an ounce of doubt, right? And there are things in your life today, right? Things that God has claimed promises over, things that God is going to bring promises over. And you've looked at it with our eyes and your eyes, and you said, this is dead. This is as good as dead. This is as far as it's gone. And I just want to challenge us this morning. Man, you got to have faith, right? You got to believe that God is able to perform. You got to believe that what God has spoken to you does not fall short. And at the same time, we have to keep our hearts, you know, intimately entwined with Him. And if there's things that we need to repent, then we need to bring that before the Lord. And we need to walk in what God has called us to walk in. Amen? So let's bow our heads this morning. I just want to give us a chance to contemplate, right? It's not bad to contemplate. It's not bad to assess. God has given us minds. Man, some of us, all of us are very intelligent. Man, some of us are very gifted. And you perceive, you make judgment calls. So it's not a sin to contemplate, to recognize the situation for what it is, even for what the world sees it as is. But then what's your judgment call? Right? Contemplating is one thing, but then what's your judgment call? Essentially, whether you say it or not, you're professing one of two things. God, you're big enough to do it. Or God, I don't have the faith right now to believe you can do it. Whether you acknowledge it, your actions speak one of these two things. God, you are able to perform it. God, I don't really know or have the faith that you can. So if you're in that situation, you know, pray this prayer. God, increase my faith. You know, the pastor talked about, you know, grow strong in faith. It's something that grows. And if you need to, you know, go back to your milestones, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, the moment of your faith, you know, think back on the cloud of witnesses, on your pastor's testimonies, on your guest speaker's testimonies, your Bible study leaders, your house church, you know, the scriptures themselves. I mean, Abraham had no one to kind of look back on. And so he kind of was, you know, trailblazing in his relationship with God. But man, we have a cloud of witnesses. And we are a witness unto ourselves and what God has done. Amen? So let's just spend some time, you know. What areas have you seen and you've thought to yourself, man, this is dead. This is as good as gone. You know, maybe God has called you indeed to let it go and to move forward. Now, I'm not talking about those things if you've received that word clearly. You know, but some things that are really on your heart that you've really desired and yet you haven't really gotten an answer. Or maybe God has given you an answer. But yet, in your physical eyes, we've kind of written it off. Well, I invite you to bring that before the Lord today. If it's a God-sized task, if it's something huge, then it's something only He can do. And I just challenge you to bring it before Him this morning. Let's just spend some time in prayer. just claim these words over yourself. If you need to repeat it over and over, I will not waver. I will grow strong in my faith. I will give glory to God. I am fully assured that God is able to perform. Man, just breathe that prayer into your heart and receive it. Pastor Nate will lead us in a song. act of faith. Let's just pray and let's just say thank you, God. God, I thank you and I re-receive, God, the promises you have made. And I claim it in faith, God. It's already mine. God, you promised Abraham a son. Those words were spoken. But God, there was a period of time of processing, of bringing forth. And so God, I'm in that period of processing and bringing forth. But I've claimed it in my heart. It's in my hands, Lord. I believe it. And my faith is growing. Let's make that our prayer. And let's, in fact, give thanks in advance for the things that you will receive. So give thanks to God now. You have it. So let's just pray in faith. Also give thanks and just proclaim that, Lord, you are enough. God, you are everything that I need. Everything comes together and has value in you. Outside of you and outside of your presence, God, your promises mean nothing to me. So let's just worship him and say, God, you are everything that I need. Lord, you are my all in all. And just proclaim that before the Lord. Lastly, let's pray for this weekend. I really believe God's going to do a powerful work, coming off Pentecost weekend. And just, man, we're so blessed to get so many great men and women of God. And just pray that God would do a real mending work, a healing work, an empowering work in the area of relationships, family, friends, work. That God would just do and come and just meet with us. So let's just pray specifically over this sanctuary, over this ground, the very feet, the very place that your feet tread, that this would be a holy place, a sanctuary where God's presence dwells, and that we would just walk into what God has already planned for us. Let's just pray and cover this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Dean Sherman, God, we just pray. Jesus, we thank you, God, for this day. And God, we just want to say, like Abraham, like Moses, like Jacob, like everyone that's gone before us, God, we believe. God, we believe. We believe in you. God,
We believe in your Son who died and rose again. We believe in the Spirit that lives in us. God, we believe in the promises that you speak over us, God, that it may be to your glory. God, let us be shining vessels, Lord, today that glorify your name. God, let us have a heart that recognizes and sees the things that you see, the things that have life in them and the potential to have life. God, let our faith increase today. We submit our hearts to you. We love you, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful morning in prayer.